Okay, thank you. Yeah, in response to Manny J, and I appreciate that you giving me time to further explain myself. The plan is, this is how my recommendation, or this is my plan of action, even if you agree or you don't agree. But I wanted to have a periodic review of financial statements with, and that means monthly, with the management, and hopefully with the LSB. I wanted to talk to them and review the performance of each station on a month-to-month basis and see where they are year-to-date and design a plan of action. There's a lot of things that we can do to kind of streamline this issue of premiums and shipping costs. We wanted to do the review so that in order, like in the first, for example, like what Tracy is saying, they spent $236,000 for the first 3 months in premium versus $1 million worth of listener support. That's a 4.5-to-1 ratio. At that point, somebody needs to understand what's going on, and somebody needs to adjust. And somebody needs to replan this whole premium set, not after the fact, but before it gets even worse during the year. And that's what we're missing in the previous years. Now, my plan is to review this with the manager. If we're going to be overextending our premium cost, then we need to do something else. We need to look at the other expenses that to compensate our viability to continue operating. And that's one example. The second one is that we need to review those expenses. We want to review what we're doing. Why are we spending so much on premium cost? Do we have suppliers? Do we review our contracts with the suppliers? Or they just dictate to us what prices are? We need to be competitive. We need to be very specific on what our needs are and what we can afford. And I think by proper, and I'm not saying that they're not doing this already, but I think there should be an emphasis on partnering with premiums providers everywhere. We are buying millions of dollars of premiums from somebody, and we're not getting a break. And that's something that we need to look at. And then we identify these costs that we could probably negotiate with. We come up with a plan. We review contracts with the premium provider. And I don't know what's going on with each of the radio stations, but, you know, when you ship a premium, normally, I'm not sure whether they deliver the premiums to us or hold the inventory, and then we reship them back to the listeners. Can we do it directly from our providers so that we eliminate a middle cost of shipping the premiums to us and then plus shipping another cost to send it to our listeners? Those are the things that we need to look at. And I think the plan is once we have established this reporting, the monthly reporting, I think we will be able to better manage our finances. And that's what's lacking in the past, and I think there's going to be some changes to this, and I think everybody can only appreciate this. And that's
Okay.
what the plan is.
Well, let me say a couple of things. I think those plans are good, and I hope that they come into being. What I will say is that you adjust your projections based on results. In other words, the year to dramatically change your projections is the year after you've executed those plans and showed some results to base your projections on going forward. It's important that we base our projection on what actually is and not on what we are hoping that we can accomplish. We have been through this with a number of stations and posted repetitive problems going back for many years, and this trend at KPFK has been in place for the past half a dozen years, easily. and it has supported million-dollar fund drives, and KPFK is the only station in the network that comes close to million-dollar fund drives in the past 5 years. And there's a reason for that, and those numbers have been pushed by a certain kind of fund drive that solicits higher value pledges based on higher value premiums. I think it's correct to untangle that. It's not working. But you have to take a look at what kind of results you can project. The stations that don't have these kinds of premium costs don't post these kinds of fund drive results. So I think these numbers are related. And if we are, in fact, aggressively dialing down our premium investments, we're going to have to somewhat dial down our listener support expectations because they are connected. So to me, if you are planning to reduce your current premium investment by 40%, you have to expect some proportionate response in your listener support. And I think when you are looking at million-dollar fund drives, you're going to have to start looking at $900,000 fund drives instead. And in fact, even with the premiums, if you take a look at KPFK's history, not all of the fund drives have made already with this level of premium support the existing projections. For example, we projected $550,000 for the spring fund drive, and we made about $420,000. With a lesser value premium package, I don't think you can assume that those results are going to jump up. So if we're going to go with a figure in the low 300s for premiums, which I think is a good goal, I think we have to dial down a bit on the listener support until we see if we can, in fact, post those numbers with lower premium values, because we don't know that. It's totally unproven, and spending unproven revenue is why we have the red ink that we have. Because we plan on more revenue and we don't get it and our expenses are locked in, so we build red ink as a result.
Richard, to the
So my sense of things is that if we are going to stick with a $320,000 goal for premiums, we're going to have to look at the actual listener support, which in 2012 was only $3 million. I think it was $2.989. And we're going to have to work with a lower number than 3.16 to be reasonable, to be realistic, and to not plan to lose money. And the intent of this process is not to plan a deficit. Okay.
To the back at some point.
I heard Richard, then I heard Michael. Richard?
Okay, with the with this year's $500,000, you're looking at a $3 million budget. And if you go back to, say, you were mentioning 320, I was looking at 350, that's $350,000. That would project a $2.1 million budget, as my figure says. This budget is asking that we raise from the $3 million last year to what, 3.16 or 3.3 or something like that?
3.16.
3.16. And I just personally don't see it. You know, y'all keep talking about the ratios and stuff. I'm looking back here at FY 2011, it was 1.1 to 9 was the ratio. And then in 12 it was 1 to 8, and then this year 1 to 6, and at the worst it was 1 to 2 of those expensive premiums. I think, like Arthur said, that 1 to 10, and I guess other people too, that 1 to 10 is what we ought to be basing our assumptions on. And just going back that quickly, you know, to jump from 1.6 or worse to 1.10, I don't think that's realistic that it's going to happen that quickly. we don't learn that quickly. And comments about staying on it closer, I think it's a good idea. But if we budget less and stay on it, and then we can increase it, seems to me like that's a lot better than letting the cat out of the bag and trying to catch it and get it back.
Right. Michael, you're next.
Okay, I'll try to explain this one more time. If you want to look at the premium cost, you have to look at two different numbers. You have to look at what it costs in the first 3 months and the rest of the year, because we did jump on it when it happened in the first 3 months, and there was a correction made. And I think more than half of the premium cost for the entire year was spent in the first 3 months, particularly because of that one. Although I agree that KPFK has a long history of being on the high end of premiums, but that one broke the bank. And the correction after that is a much different ratio for the rest of the year, with many premiums that had no cost to us and no shipping costs because they were digital downloads. So when you say next year, then you have to think about it and then look at it. There was a correction made during the course of this year. Now, I agree that the correction should not have needed to be made because the first 3 months were insane. But be that as it may, the ratio for the rest of the year is much different. Second point I'll try to make it again. When you get that amount of money in premiums, the person is not aware of what we're getting out of the premium. All they're aware of is they're sending this amount of money to KPFK. And so that actually cuts down any additional money you're going to get from that person. Those big ticket premiums are counterproductive in terms of long-term fundraising, in terms of turning people into sustainers, in terms of getting people to, you know, join a 360 degrees of solidarity and give, you know, $30 a month or anything else, that they've already spent their money, as far as they're concerned, on that one big ticket premium. So I think that there are plans in place and that have been carried out already, and there are further ones to bring those premium costs down. And all of this saying aside, although I agree that this August is the doldrums, but the May fund drive did exceed the goal by $110,000 or something, and it had a $47,000 a day average for the drive. So that's something to try to sustain and go for. Now, the budget it's not built on a $47,000. It's built on $36,000. I don't have the figures right in front of me now because I lost something. But it's a reasonable goal for the number of days and the per day goal within the realm of what KPFK has done. So the other question about the management not fulfilling the budget has to do with the question of last year the budget called for two positions, and the management had actually tried to eliminate two positions and was shot down by the then ED. And I'm not going to say anything further about that. But so this budget going forward does have two positions reduced by attrition. And the management is committed to carry that out, as far as I understand. So, I think that there has been a demonstrated commitment once this lesson was driven home by very bad experience to reduction with a plan on reducing the premium costs and the shipping costs, and there is a commitment to reducing the personnel costs, and that's the budget. So, we hire management to do these things, and we try to set goals in a budget that's to the best of our ability. That's what the LSP to do around some of these questions. And, I think it's a manageable budget.
Okay. Well, let me say a couple of things just on this question in terms of what KPFK's sort of, history has been about how fund drives are run and where the money is coming in. on the water filters, I think it's important to say that as much as people want to support the station, and I think largely people do pledge because they want to support the station, in this particular case, we were selling as a KPFK premium, an item for really less than it retails for. In other words, individuals who wanted to purchase this item could get it cheaper by pledging to KPFK than they could buy it on the open market. And therefore, I think you guys sold like 27,000 of them or some insane amount. But the point sort of was that people were shopping and you were offering a good deal. So when you're talking about the listener numbers that you hit and the pledge drives, you have to realize that part of that was people wanting that premium at that price. In other words, they could get this water filtration filter for a $250 pledge to KPFK that they would have to pay $300 or $400 for in a retail situation. So you can't necessarily assume a repeat of that particular scenario. When we look at KPFKs, let me finish. I'm just putting some info out there because the committee has to make decisions and we have to have info. When you take a look at KPFK's pledge drive results, what you find is that in many cases, and I think Michael would agree with this actually, regular programs are preempted and they do special health and spirituality type programming, which is heavily premium based, which is what tends to bring in the really big gaudy numbers at KPFK. I mean, if you take a look at the drive time public affairs programs and you take a look at the midday health and beauty premium packaging things, the health and beauty premium packaging things are what bring in twice what drive time brings in. Those are what the numbers are. So when you look at trying to change things up, I think you have to look that there's going to be pros and cons, and a certain kind of money that was flowing into the station will probably not flow into the station as much as it was. Hopefully you can replace that with other revenue streams, but to some degree that's a guess how well that's going to go. So you may drop your premium cost, but your listener revenue may drop proportionately. You don't know until you try. So to me, it seems to me that we have to be a bit prudent about what is the possible downside of what we're doing here and how are we going to deal with it if that downside manifests. My guess is that some downside will manifest. And I think in the long run, it's much better for the station. It's a much more solid foundation. But I think we have to take a look at that short-term potential downside and not be blindsided by it, because we may have a situation where we go into our new fund drive plan and we may not get the results because we're doing things differently. And then what are we going to do? So I think that the execution of this plan involves sort of taking some responsibility for some potential downsides that might occur and planning for them and not failing to plan for them utterly and being blindsided if they should happen to occur. And I think everybody understands that if they don't occur and there's no impact on the listener revenue, that's great. I mean, we're not going to suffer if we have more money than we're planning. We are going to suffer if we have less money than we're planning.
Manager.
Yeah, go ahead, manager.
No, I didn't think we are going to be talking here about the way in which people did fundraising. The ways of doing that. But anyway, I will talk about that now that you have, that people have talked about it. But before that, I would like to say that the problem that we have, what we were talking at the question, about, that how is going to enforce that and how it's going to accomplish what he says in terms of oversight and follow-ups and all sorts of things, is that I think people come up with numbers without being specific about how they are going to do it when they are budgeting. And I think we may need to have every budget come with very clear explanation and what they are going to do, what they are having, and, you know, so people know exactly what they are talking about rather than how coming up with a number because it's a nice number. $1 million, or we're going to raise $1 million, and they raise 500 or 600 or 700 or something. We need to have clear, defined explanation of each item on the budget, especially to concerning premiums and its cost and how much money they are going to be raised. To be with the budget that is proposed at the LSP and all that, and then come to APM. So people are very clear about what they are voting for. It's not the number, but it's the process by which the number are achieved and expenses that are incurred. That's one. The second, I have to say, I have such an aversion to the way in which at least BAI have been raising money. We have become a shopping, very cheap shopping network. It's horrible. It's horrible to listen to it. I don't usually, if as soon as the fundraiser is coming up, I turn the radio off. You mostly I listen to it when I'm driving and things. I don't listen to it. And I think it's degradation of the network by this type of, sorry to say, prostituting the whole network and individual stations for money like this. I think is against the mission. We are not, and we are developing a need, capitalist need, for buying and buying and having materials. I didn't think, I ever thought that Pacifica was to do that, was for that purpose. And this is absolutely, to me, unacceptable. And I have been arguing against this for all the time that I have been with BAI, you know, with BAI. So I think we have to become creative and find new ways to raise funds rather than enticing people to buy more and more and more and more. To me, this is antithetical to what I perceive to be Pacifica and BAI. And we are cheapened ourselves, and that's why part of it, because we are losing people. Part of it. Mm-hmm. Because some of our programs are not attracting listeners. Pacifica is about radio, about education, about educations of all sorts. But we have actually adopted the mainstream models of supporting ourselves. We don't have underwritings, but the way we do, for example, Gary Noll is advertising himself and everybody else. While Gary Noll was selling something on the network, he was referring people to his 800 number and his website, and he was selling the same thing for half or one third of the price there. And to me, for DAI and Pacifica to become free advertising for some people who might make some money with their books or anything, it's absolutely unacceptable, and we have to become creative. I don't mean that we have to stop everything right now, but we have to set our goal to change this model, which is antithetical to what this network and BAI is about. For example, to have a high, you know, and that when we do this, when we raise much money in this way, then we have a whole huge premium department that they are having files and files and files and files of all of these premium parties sitting there and waiting for somebody to call for them. I don't know how we are come around and how other creative ways to come up with this with different way, but this is not the way. We are not attracting people. We are discouraging people to listen and support us. And then I heard something about requests and all that. Something that I would like to say, and I would like to propose maybe some other place. Requests and endowments are not for everyday acting, for everyday supporting the budget. These are for being invested for, you know, an indirect type of support. Not somebody gives us $50,000 and we pay for this month of antenna, for example, in New York. And I think if we do that, we lose anyone who is going to give us any money. Because especially now we are at the time in the life of Pacifica Network that we have more and more people coming of an age to write their wills and decide to give money to these stations. But we have to be very careful, and we have to start the process by which these investments meet the request and the needs of the donors and also become support, a long, long-term support for keeping up what we are supposed to be doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm fiddling with these numbers a bit to come up with some ideas about where we might go. Anyone else want to kind of weigh in on?
This is Barbara.
Yes.
It's very interesting to listen to all of this because we've recognized for some time that the budget template does have some way of assessing speculating based on listener support during fund drives how much we're going to spend on premiums. And we have always felt at KPFA that the estimate was much higher than what we would be spending. And it has often proved that to be true. And I don't know what the background is that's going on there. I hope people can hear what I'm saying. And so I think what I'd like to say about our station's atmosphere, I guess you'd say, of the kinds of premiums that we find successful are related to public affairs broadcasting. People are very interested to order copies of even DVDs that we play the soundtracks from that are essentially contemporary journalism about contemporary issues, and they are often DVDs that have to be played in small theaters and they are or private showings. They have word of mouth and internet kind of advertising. They don't get on to NPR. In fact, they're purposely kept from it. And people are very hungry for this kind of stuff, and it's much cheaper than these large items that you're talking about. And then, of course, we have a speaker series that are authors that have books that are coming out about current issues, and some of them are cultural, not necessarily public affairs, but cultural books. And people want to have these recordings also. They give them to libraries and schools, and these are very much less expensive than these shopping channel type of things. I think one item that we've sold has been an emergency radio that goes for $150 pledge. But that's about the only kind of shopping item that I would say. And it's a useful, environmentally relevant item. So I think that there are different atmospheres in different radio stations. And as far as a comment that was made a while ago, I think by our Paul, that all the stations are having this kind of problem with the big expensive premiums drawing the listeners, is not really 100% true. And so I would be encouraging to those stations who are looking for other kinds of premiums to take up this idea that people are, and Manajay is absolutely correct, this is an educational institution, and people are looking for this kind of continuing education about current events. And I would be inclined to support Michael in his pointing out that after 3 months in this past year, they noticed and they finally tackled the problem and did something about it. And I would prefer to not change or change things in the way that Michael is thinking. That's because I think they've gotten the message, it sounds to me.
Well, the thing is that we have to translate the message accurately. KPFA A hasn't had a fund drive that's booked more than $750,000 gross in several years, and KPFK is projecting LoopCenter revenue that is more than $400,000 more than KPFA is projecting. So the question is not whether you can dial down your premiums. The question is that if you do dial down your premiums, what kind of LoopCenter revenue results can you expect? On average, KPFK's fund drives have been booking $250,000 more each and every fund drive than KPFA's fund drives have been booking. So the projections are for greatly expanded revenue. So you have to look at
comparing stations tonight. We were just talking about KPFK.
Well, you brought up the issue that KPFA's premium expenses have been substantially lower, and that you've not enjoyed the time.
Barbara,
the point is that you have to look at the kind of revenue that you're projecting as a result. In other words, the numbers that KPFK has been able to post have had something to do with the kinds of fund drives that they've been having. And I don't think we can totally ignore that. As I said, if we switch to having other kinds of fund drives and doing other kinds of things, then we have to look at what the consequences might be or what the expected results might be. Okay.
Can I get on the stack one more time? I don't know. Maybe it's beating a dead horse.
No, you can. Go ahead.
So, I agree completely with everything Mina just said earlier. I hate the infomercial fund drives. I'm striving to try to change that culture, as treasurer, as a member of the LSP. We did some brainstorming with the management, with the staff. I'm trying to propose a number of different ways to look at the budgeting, in a strategic way to try to figure out what services we're trying to provide, what audience we're trying to reach, and how we're going to accomplish that. How do we get the resources to do it? All of those discussions need to be had. In terms of this particular budget, I just want to clarify something. A lot of the health and spirituality, and other ones that are done. There's great lies of history. There are a lot of different ones that get plugged into this grid of the fund drive. It's problematic because we attract an audience during the fund drive, which is not necessarily our actual audience. The people who tune in, they hear this kind of infomercial type pitch, they get sucked in, and they order something. That's how they think of it. They don't even realize they're supporting a radio station necessarily. And then they tune out again. And simultaneously, our regular listeners kind of tune out during the fund drives because they know they're just going to hear the same recycled pitching. So I think that's problematic. Nonetheless, some of them are public affairs oriented, some of them are health oriented, some are spirituality oriented. A lot of them are not expensive. I just want to be clear about this. Many of those premiums are exactly what was described by Bernard Lessing, the digital downloads provided free or very little cost to the station. Now, I might not agree with the content of them, and that's not under debate right now. That'll be worked out at KPFK, discussions, the LSP discussions with the staff over a long period of time. But, we're not going to have that whole philosophical thing written into this budget. Factually speaking, many of those are low-cost premiums with no shipping costs whatsoever. So that's built into this budget. I don't like it, but that's just the current fact. We're in struggle about other things. There are other, in other words, if we had people at the station well-trained in social media, then we could offer training in social media as a premium to say, learn how to use Twitter effectively if you're a nonprofit or whatever it is, and come to KPFK for that. By supporting KBSK and then your premium, or meet the programmers, or any number of other things that cost us nothing, or a free subscription to some publication that they provide the mailing, and then hope to turn you into a regular subscriber, et cetera, et cetera. All those things are possible, but they don't have to be settled tonight to come up with a budget for the station.
Okay.
Well, I kind of do.
Point of information?
Yes.
Tracy, I just wanted to reiterate what Michael said earlier. They did, in fact, made some correction after the first quarter. Like I said, the first quarter, they had a 4.5-1 premium cost. After that, the last 7 months showed about 8-1. So there's the improvement that Michael was referring to, just a point of information.
Yeah. And the listener revenue has not surpassed projections, and that's at 8-1, which is a pretty good argument that 8-1 might be a more reasonable ratio to go into if you don't want to see a listener revenue decline. Well, I think there's a couple different ways that we can play this. Let me finish the sentence. They all cause some problems. It looks like KPFK is going to come in this year with a deficit and with approximately the listener revenue that was projected. And of course, we are looking at a CPB cut this year. And another thing that's important to understand about KPFK's budget is that unlike some other stations, they don't really have its strong community events source of revenue. And the major and minor donations, while I think those numbers can come up and should come up, have not been substantial. So they are very dependent on their listener support for 80% of their budget. It's a really big chunk. It's substantial. So if we're looking at 2012 results for listener support, we're looking at 2.98. If we're projecting for 2013, it looks like we might get to 3.0, maybe a little more, not much more than that. So assuming that we're going to be able to perform these miracles and cut the premium costs by 40% while experiencing no loss in listener revenue, it seems to me that we would then be looking at a listener support guesstimate of about $3 million. In other words, that's to maintain the status quo with a 40% cut in our premium costs, which I would hope that we can achieve. I think it remains to be seen whether we can achieve it, but that's not a bad goal if you're trying to have an ambitious goal. If we do that, let's take a look at what the numbers turn into, along with the depreciation adjustment, which we have to make, and the election costs. I'm going to do that and tell you what the numbers look like if you do that.
I have a comment about the election costs that I wanted to make earlier. I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
As Michael presented it, they were offsetting the idea that they needed to put more aside for election costs, and they were reducing mailings, fundraising mailings. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that seems like, I mean, there is income produced by these mailings. They don't just spend your money. They bring income in. So
KPFK is adding direct mail costs substantially. They're doubling them.
Oh, I thought you said you were reducing.
No, I'm saying that, in an effort to accommodate the need for additional funding for the election,
you would increase
trimming the increase, let's put it that way, in direct mail.
Trimming the increase.
There was an increase in direct mail built into this budget. They're reducing that increase to
That's how you were going to pay for the election expenses. Okay.
Yeah.
But mailings do produce income. They don't just cost money.
Understood, but you have to trim something somewhere. They were already cutting two positions. There's not a lot of other places you can cut.
Okay, so I'll make that cut, Michael. So back to about what you spent in 2013, the increase you're dialing back. Okay.
So let's see where we are here. Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying that the 2013 premiums in the budget for 2013 were $341,000, which is about a 9-to-1 ratio. So I don't think it's correct to say that KPFK management has never presented an attempt to reduce the premium costs. They have. They were just not successful in executing it this past year. And that's something that we need to take into account. Okay, so I'm dialing down the direct mail, and I'm dialing down the premium shipping costs, which Raul brought up, and that's giving me $515 for development, $515,701. So let's see where we are. Okay, so if we project status quo listener revenue with the premium level suggested, which is 40% less of actual, put in the depreciation, put in the collection cost, dial down the direct mail, and put in the collection expenses, which is everything that we've talked about, we end up with a projected deficit of $134,000. That's where we are. I have a question which relates to your major donor donation levels, Michael, because you seem to be projecting considerably less than you've gotten in previous years.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that was so conservative. Most of the projections were conservative in this budget, with the exception of the slight increase in the listener support, which the management bill is just fine because they did come in well above the projection on that May one. And that amount would cover the 120, 130.
Yeah, I think there might be a little space for hoping for more than that. You would need to sort of, you know, there would need to be a commitment to do something to bring it in. But that seems to me to be on the conservative side. Other than that, I don't see a lot here that is over budgeted at all, which is good, but it doesn't leave us a lot to work with.
I have a question.
Tracy.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what Raul has to say about depreciation.
Raul did address depreciation. He said it's $5,900 a month.
I don't mean the amount.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay. I will address that. Well, depreciation is an item in the budget right now, and it's been budgeted year after year. This is obviously a non-cash item of all the items listed on the budget template. This one does not involve the outlay of cash from year to year. Although we do have a capital expenditures that addresses the issues of renewing our facilities and getting them up to date with the modern times. Depreciation is never a cash item, and hence the budget template reflects that issue. That depreciation is added back to determine what actually the station would cash flow in from for the year. So we are making sure that the depreciation is accurate for generally accepted accounting principles GAAP, but in terms of evaluating a station's viability or cash flow, I think depreciation should be considered considered as a non-cash asset and should not be a determinant of or a factor to whether a budget is viable or not.
Well,
what the capital expenditures are.
No. We've been through this already on the PNB multiple times, and this has been decided in 20.
I'm sorry, Tracy,
yes,
but
the PNB is not full of CPAs.
With all due respect, I was
asked to get my view on this, so I'm giving my view, if you give me a chance.
Yeah.
I would like to hear it.
But I'm saying it's been resolved on the PNB level, and there's
it's been decided on the PNB by a bunch of people who are not accountants.
It is foundation policy, and it is going to be the way that it is. And
what is foundation policy?
Foundation policy is what the board of directors establishes. You're an employee, Raoul. In terms of presenting your point of view, you can do so, but it's also worth pointing out this budget has no capital expenses in it.
And
if you would like to take...
That's a different issue, though, Tracy. If you want to address that the lack of budget for capital expenditure, that's a total different issue.
Not a totally different issue, because one impacts the other, and... We just went through an audit where we saw the impact of depreciation on our bottom line, and we have specific reasons why our bottom line needs to stop being entirely red all of the time to the tune of $1 million. And our accounting for the extent of our expenses and accounting for the way in which our audit is going to be addressed is the responsibility of the organization. We cannot continue to post deficits year after year after year. We are not in a position to cover operating deficits. We don't have enough money to pay our bills. This particular station was in trouble paying
its
bills less than a month ago.
And that's exactly
therefore, we are not going...
Tracy, I think it's my turn to talk because I think that we've given you enough time to talk. Every other, speaker, you have to put in your point of view. I was just asked to put my view on this as a CFO, as an accounting professional, and that's what I'm giving. The audit is prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, the financial statements. But any other financial institutions that evaluate the viability or feasibility of any organization, whether it's profit or non-profit, they take into account non-cash items that are into the financial statements and consider what the cash items or what the real cash flow of each organization contribute or each unit contribute to the whole entire organization. And that's what the depreciation is. It's like you said, the financial statements, the expenses, we want to make sure that we have money to spend. But you're not spending money on depreciation. That's exactly the opposite of what you're just saying. The depreciation does not involve cash outlay. And so that's why most of the financial institutions that provides loans, that evaluate companies for their profitability or their viability or their feasibility, adjust their cash flow numbers by adding back depreciation, amortization of goodwill, and all these non-cash items. And those are one of the things that before we do that, we need to adjust. We need to evaluate the budget with respect to depreciation. What impact of this depreciation is going to the bottom, the deficit, the accounting, the gap accounting?
That's correct. If you can produce a surplus in excess of your anticipated depreciation, that would be fine. These divisions in this unit and this foundation as a whole cannot and has not done that for the past decade. All right.
And that's probably
Michael, I have a question for you. Do you think that it is realistic for KPFK to match its donation levels of previous years?
I'm sorry, are you talking about like website income and major
something
like that? Or are you talking about the listener support?
I'm talking about your 5752 and 5001 accounts.
Okay, so major donors above my hood. Sure,
right.
I think you could anticipate.
Okay. That's what I think. And that helps make up a little bit of
think,
what's looking
well,
like a gap.
I think we're saving for 5750. I think we need to move towards more. I mean, you said it yourself. There's very little community support, community events. Our budget and this has even less. I you know, you want to put more there?
Well, okay. So if we go with sort of the actual listener support and this ambitious plan to cut the deficit, to cut the premium expense by 40%, which again is a plan that more of us had in 2013 and failed to execute on, but hopefully in 2014 we will, then we basically are looking at $116,000 anticipated operating deficit at the end of the year. So the question becomes, what do we kind of do with those numbers? Of course, we can plop it into listener support, but I have questions, having seen an awful lot of budgets where listener support gets plopped up to make the numbers add up. And I think in this case, because we are projecting significant changes in sort of the fundraising protocol, that might not be the smartest thing that we could do. So are there any other ideas for sort of where we might dial down expenses by, I don't know, $120,000 or so? I think that's kind of what we're looking at in terms of a realistic plan.
If you're cutting the listener support, aren't you cutting the central services payment?
I am, yes. And we'll get a little bit of it back there. Yes. We'll get a little bit of it back there. That's correct. Let me see if I can do this by math. So this number is 16%. So let's do an equal sum. C21. What's the number we're cutting here? C32. Yeah, that's just one. Does somebody have a calculator handy? Hello?
It's 1/6 of 162.
Hello? Yeah. Now, let's see how much we're cutting this by. Let's see. We have to add up a couple of these numbers because 5,000, 5011, and 50. I guess it's just 5,000. Loosely, 3 million times 16%.
I thought it was 16 and a half.
16.5. 1/6. No, it's not. It's 16%. A half is for the archives.
Oh, I thought they were 2 and
4.95.
2.5. Okay, right. Actually, we got it pretty much from the previous year because that's what it was budgeted at. Okay, so 4.95, and then this becomes what happened with the archives. Okay, 3 million times 2.5%. We can do this in rough numbers, and I can clean it up later.
Yeah, last year, the archive, it was 497 and 97.
Yeah. All right. Let's use those numbers tentatively and see what we get. Okay. That drops the deficit to 57,000, which is a little more reasonable. Let's see. Well, let's see. I don't see a whole lot. And the feedback that we've gotten, and I think both Michael and Kim agree on this, is that the administrative and programming expenses are not overestimated. And might, in fact, be slightly underestimated. Is there anything else in development that's grown or all? Let's see. Male renewal looks right. Michael, when you talked about the premiums, I see that you're doing a little bit less from PRA than you did in 2012. Is there any discussion of the sort of PRA outside premium vendor ratio?
I'm sorry, I thought there was an increase in premiums for PRA. Under development, this is 6430
yeah.
premiums from PRA.
Yeah, there is.
16,000 for projected the current year, and they're increasing it to 20,000. I guess they want to increase the PRA premiums versus the other. The cut in premiums from other vendors and increase in premiums from PRA.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, what I'd like to tell you to do, honestly, is develop a little more robustness in the community events and some alternate sources of revenue, because I think that you're going to need them to maintain the infrastructural level that you have. But I'm not hearing a lot of plans to that effect. And I don't know whether you can say that and make it manifest. So when go ahead.
You know, we did talk last time about the various ideas that have been raised, and some of them being put into practice, and some of them will be put into practice, about off-air fundraising, as I say, the call-out effort to increase the fulfillment rate and to increase the number of people who become, sustaining EFT, whatever you want to call it, the perpetual EFT members, and at a couple of different levels, and the other issue that was raised is the idea of doing some pitch programming that's not during a fund drive as a way to, generate some additional listener support without, breaking up the whole day or, changing a basic programming grid, but just every once in a while popping in one of these evergreen
and inviting
premium-driven. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the things that are out there. The larger scale, I mean, I've been pushing for 2 years to have a more strategic budgeting approach, had a motion to present to our LSB last week. We didn't get a quorum to have a, discussion with paid and unpaid staff, management, governance, about what's the appropriate level of staffing and how should that staffing be used to, attract audience and,
right.
build sponsorships. But, all those things are somewhat in train, but,
Well, I, yeah.